Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. If you had opportunity to tune in last week, and you're aware that my very special guest was Stephen Black. Stephen is a friend, ministry colleague. He is the chairman of Restored Hope Network. As well, he is the executive director of First Stones Ministries located in Oklahoma City. And Stephen is also the author of a brand new book titled Freedom Realized, Finding Freedom from Homosexuality and Living a Life Free from Labels. Stephen is with me once again. Good morning, Stephen. Good to have you back.
Good morning, Philip.
Let's focus on your new book. And boy, I greatly, greatly appreciate from the very beginning to the end of what you have shared and what you have written. But let me ask you, Stephen, why this book? Why this book now? What was your purpose?
Oh, good question. Well, it began with the implosion of Exodus International. I was the chairman of the ministry council, and I was watching things up front. And after the implosion began, and it became obvious that a large group of us, you included, were seeing that we were going to have to form a new network, and that we were going to have to, you know, walk away from what was being taught in the association. So I was sitting here one day, and I started thinking about what was being communicated, which is nobody changes, basically. And that was coming from Alan Chambers. It started in 2011. He went on Lisa Ling, basically saying that you could be a practicing homosexual and go to heaven. Then in January the following year in 2012, he was at the GCN and said 99.9% people don't change. Well, the gay media just took with that, and it was repeated over and over and over. And we were getting, you know, blasted with that statement, and still do even to this day. And so I was sitting here and realized there was 1,200 client folders in our storage room. And so I felt like the Lord said, where are these people? Why don't you find out where they are? So we took all 1,200 client folders, scanned them all in, built a database, and then we were able to make contact with 500 people. And of those 500 people, we were able to get 185 to actually fill out a survey. The survey results are a part of the book. And I started thinking, well, it's not just me. I know there are lots of other leaders. And so there are 16 mature leaders that have at least 20 years of experience with helping people and having come out of homosexuality themselves have also contributed to this book. And you're one of those, of course. But there are, you know, 15 other people. And so most people don't realize and did not realize just because the Exodus office closed, that was like a, you know, a denomination office closing, but all the churches were still doing the frontline work. Well, all these ministries and lots of people were still helping people overcome homosexuality. So I felt like it was really necessary to do the survey, and the conclusion showed that more than 70% of the people that were same-sex attracted or homosexual that came to our ministry over the last 25 years, that actually surrendered their lives and gave at least 1 year of ministry, 1 year of support group and pastoral care, have now walked away living a life free from labels. They don't call themselves gay or ex-gay or anything. They just live their lives surrendered to Jesus Christ. And so it really confronts the idea that nobody changes. And then I felt like I needed to share my story. Other people said, oh, well, you got to share your story, and so I did. And then I talk about what works and doesn't work. And one of the things, it's a real short chapter in my book, chapter 6, is Coram Deo. And I think it's really foundational to have an understanding that God's eyes are on us, on everything that we do, and that the beginning of wisdom is firm foundation for anybody that walks in freedom, which, of course, is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, really, for the most part, from what I saw in Exodus, that Exodus office was removed. And actually, even in a conversation with Alan Chambers, he told me he would never teach that to his children. And I thought, after that conversation, I thought, well, that's a huge problem, and then that means that there'll always be a problem. And so I just felt like I needed to put together this manuscript that would really give people hope and that freedom is realized for those who want it.
And thank God for your obedience and follow through. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Well, you're welcome.
The content, again, of your book is just absolutely remarkable, and I really, really encourage everyone to get a copy and keep it as a resource for you, because to draw from what Stephen has shared in his book will help you tremendously. Stephen, you mentioned the closure of Exodus, which was quite a blow, and then right on the heels of that came the legalization of same-sex marriage throughout America, which was another considerable blow. But, thankfully, many leaders grouped together and formed Restored Hope Network, of which you are the chairman. Share a little bit about Restored Hope, if you would, please.
Yeah, and this is another part that is actually a really beautiful offering for the church, coming beside the church. The Restored Hope Network is much like what Exodus was in the early days. We actually went back to the bylaws that were pre-Alan Chambers and then shored them up to where it could never be hijacked, that the bylaws could not be changed, where one person could take control, that the directorship of the network of ministries would actually be the authority. And so we have a person who serves, our director, Ann Polk, and she serves as a servant, not as a top-down organization, but as the frontline ministries are doing the work to actually be promoted and to be seen, because most of these people are actually invisible, unsung heroes in the church. A lot of people do not even know that there are, 60 organizations in this network with pastoral care and counselors that are really helping people find lasting freedom. And so what happened was, in the formation of Restored Hope, is there was a lot of thought given to that, and then that there needed to be a clear doctrinal statement that was thorough. And Dr. Robert Gagnon was a part of the formation, and he really labored hard on that, along with Dr. David Kyle Foster and Andrew Kaminsky. They were a part of that committee. They brought it to the board. We all labored over it, and then we brought it to the membership, and it was approved. And since then, we've also had several policy papers to where it brings structure and it brings real clear definition for the church and for all of us, so that we never err again. And so you've got some really mature ministries and ministers like yourself, 30 plus years who have been ministering, and a lot of these people are the directors of these ministries.
Yes.
And so it is actually a beautiful offering. Even though Restored Hope itself is only 7 years old, there are ministries and ministers who have been doing this work for over 30 years.
Yes, yes, absolutely. In your book, you give a lot of time and attention to understanding homosexuality, for which I am very, very grateful, because I really believe when we focus on helping people understand this form of brokenness, we take the focus off of homosexuality just being an issue, and it's really, really about people. People whom God loves, people for whom Jesus died. Now, let me ask you, Stephen, based upon understanding homosexuality, does God condemn a person for being attracted to members of the same sex?
Absolutely not. He does not condemn someone having attractions. What is the condemnation is when a heart becomes filled with lust and desire and inordinate affections, and the person begins to act out on that. That's what we call sinful behavior in word, thought, or deed.
Yes.
But same-sex attraction, realizing the nuances, the common causality behind it, when people understand that, there's usually deficit relating, identity conflict, and it really can be built upon a person's perception of oneself. And so there's personalities and temperaments that can be a bent. And, you know, as myself, and probably more than likely you and many others, you know, we were labeled growing up, sissy, queer, faggot. I was beaten. I was, molested. And then even in my late teenage years, I was raped. I had horrible things that happened to me that continued to underscore you're gay, you're queer, you're a misfit. And so by the time I was in my late teenage years, I just embraced it. And then in my healing process, I understood that there was a lot of early childhood development that gave way to my confusion, the trauma, the sexual abuse, also the authoritarian father that I had, the abusive way that he raised me. And, you know, I love my dad. We mended our relationship before he passed away. But, you know, there was a lot of brokenness in my home. And so I, what we call defensively detached, and this is very common for people who struggle. But no, God does not condemn somebody just because they merely are attracted to their same sex. He's wanting to find resolution. He's wanting them to find healing and being mentored and having what is actually missing completed, which is really like father hunger, love, and affirmation, and being strengthened in the core of one's person. That's what God wants.
Yes, yes. Once again, listening to you share a lot of similarities in your life and my own. I awakened, if you will, to my same-sex desires around the age of 13 years old. And I can't even to this day begin to express the amount of fear and shame when I realized what was going on, because this occurred, again, at the age of 13 many, many years ago, and then the whole subject matter of homosexuality wasn't even close to being talked about then as it is today. But fast forward a few years, at the age of 18, I made the decision, I made the conscious choice to embrace what many refer to as the gay identity, and there I stayed for 17 years. During those 17 years, Stephen, I never heard even one time, I never had a Christian approach me and say, you know what, Philip, there's a way out of that. Now, I'm not offering that as an indictment on the church. My point is this, it would have been really, really good to have had the option, but I didn't know there was a way out, which is, again, why this kind of conversation you and I are having going out over the airways is so critically important today. Would you say there's a difference then between having homosexual tendencies versus embracing the gay identity?
There certainly are many differences in that you can be a person who struggles and really needing to find some healing and freedom. There's some men that I've ministered to for 20 plus years dealing with some real deep issues of rejection and shame because their upbringing was so traumatizing that they have felt a deep sense of inferiority. And because of that, they always compare themselves with other men. And these are men, some who don't ever act out and yet have these feelings. I know that there's one man I've ministered to for years that dealt with looking at pornography and comparing himself, but he never physically acted out. Of course, pornography is very damaging and very sinful.
Yes.
But if you look at some of these root problems, and it really does make sense. And in my book, I talk about the overview and the common causes of homosexuality. And, you know, I laid it out much like a checklist, and I did that on purpose because what I want to do is I want to come back and write and actually deal with that chapter and the chapter on the practical avenues and actually form something that is a little bit more fleshed out and really a deeper understanding. But this acts as a tool for pastors and leadership and for people to get them thinking that there are specific reasons, and there's a whole list of things there that help people to understand that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, there's a big difference between attraction, feeling attracted, and then the behavior. Of course, the behavior, once you step over that line, it can be very damaging in that your body responds, your mind responds, your soul responds, and plus we have an unseen enemy that will make you feel like you have to continue to behave homosexually.
Yes.
And so there really are some even graver consequences in acting out. It does sow deep places of brokenness in the mind and soul. And so I applaud those that, you know, stay celibate and stay clean from acting out, because once you cross that line, it really is hard to come back.
Absolutely. And the world in which you and I live today, whether we're talking about homosexuality or heterosexuality, when we cross God's holy defined boundary lines in terms of what's permissible in His sight for sexual expression, we can bring some pretty, pretty horrible consequences our way because of our disobedience and our rebellion. I am very, very concerned today in talking about this whole subject matter that as a Christian, we're trying to reach people and reason with them with the truth and the authority of God's Word. But so often today, again, anytime we challenge on the subject matter of homosexuality, we are often today being immediately labeled as hateful, homophobic, or a bigot. But having a different point of view or belief is not the same as to hate, but we're often being labeled that, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And the oxymoron of that is that it's really the other way around.
Yes.
We're really, in the scope of eternity, if we could all pull back the curtains and see into the spirit realm, this is one of the most extremely loving things that a person could do, and that is to warn them and tell them there's a better way, that God loves them, and that there really is freedom. And it is so unloving to make someone feel that it's okay to be in that disobedience.
Yes, yes. What single most truth would you like for people to see and embrace and to share with others? What single most truth in your book would you say is the most important you hope people will see and take away from your book?
Well, a couple of things, actually. I think the fear of the Lord and understanding that God is extravagant and that He really is a creator. And again, you know, I mentioned chapter 6 in our last interview about Coram Deo. Coram Deo is something that needs to be cultivated in the mind of the believer, in the heart of the believer, that God's eyes are on them in every place that they are, and to cultivate a relationship that it really is about underscoring integrity, a life of integrity, because you're never without the gaze of God. And that means in your inner world of thinking, being realigned in your thinking, never giving way in the core of who you are, in your thinking, to uncleanness, to impurity in your thoughts. And then the next part of that is just as extravagant, and that is the extravagant mercy of God. I had this picture a few weeks ago I was sharing in Chicago, and I was telling the crowd, I said, as much as you can think about how extreme the holiness of God, multiply that by a million. And I said, but that's also true of His mercy. And I said, we have a picture of that now in the Hubble telescope images. If you can see that now there are billions and trillions of other galaxies, that's how extravagant God's holiness is, but it's also extravagant in his mercy.
Yes.
And that's why it is so important to cultivate a holy and pure life, free from all immorality, especially in the inner world.
And God has called each and every one of us to holiness. Now, that is a pretty tall order. Holiness is progressive. It doesn't occur in our lives overnight. But holiness is the call and command of God for all of his faithful followers. Amen?
Yeah, and it's obtainable by, you know, consistency. By, you know, I have a little acronym in my book called ABS. When you have accountability and not just confession sessions, but you actually have, you know, community in an organic way of being able to, you know, confess and get prayer, and then boundaries. If you don't have boundaries on your technology and where you go and what you do and the people you hang out with, then you're going to be tempted and beyond your ability to handle it. That's why a wise person understands that you embrace boundaries. And then S, a spiritually devoted life where you practice spiritual warfare. So much of the time, Christians will just skirt over the idea of spiritual warfare, and they need to understand that we really are wrestling against a spiritual world of evil. Ephesians 6:12 makes it very clear that there are demonic powers and principalities, and that's why we have to have the spiritually devoted life in memorizing Scripture, knowing the Word of God, practicing prayer, being in fellowship, and witnessing, and all the tenets of Christian life.
Yes.
That's what brings about lasting freedom.
Yeah, I would submit, Stephen, that today, for any Christian man or lady, whether they've been walking with Jesus for a day or 50 years, if you don't have an individual, possibly two, structured in your life, you've really got a formula for disaster.
That's
we
right.
all need people to whom we are accountable that we can go to in those times when the heat is on and just really say it like it is, because that really is God's way. James 5:16 is in God's Word for a very, very good reason.
Yeah, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another so that you can be healed.
Yes.
And the healing, as you know and I know, and living this out now for 35-plus years, is that there is a consistency that takes place as you continue to humble yourself. God promises to give grace, empowerment to those who humble themselves. And if we don't humble ourselves, then we don't get power. That's the upside-down ways of the kingdom of God. We humble ourselves, not walk in pride, but walk in humility and brokenness, and then God gives us the power to overcome.
Yes, yes, amen. Let me refocus us once again on your title of the book, Freedom Realized, Finding Freedom from Homosexuality and Living a Life Free from Labels. Life Free from Labels. That really, really captivated my attention. I don't know that I've ever seen that in the title of any other book. Why that statement there, Stephen?
Well, because there's so many people now that are embracing the idea of putting gay before Christ.
Yes.
And putting a label or a place of brokenness before Christ. And we would do that with no other sin. But for whatever reason, the church is now, and I understand, I mean, the church has actually been browbeaten by the LGBT community, you know, putting the church in light of the, you know, the Westboro gang. But and nobody wants to be labeled like that. And so the idea of gay before Christ is being accepted, and actually that is so, it's so painful and hurtful to sow an identity into brokenness. It doesn't help.
Yes.
And Freedom Realized is also the website, freedomrealized.org, and when people ask, you know, how can you get the book, they can get it right there at freedomrealized.org, and it's now an e-book, and hardbacks are getting ready to come out, and I think hopefully in the future, we'll have it in Spanish and even in audio format.
In your book, you do offer quite a few testimonies of both men and women that were once bound and habitually practicing homosexuality or lesbianism, but now have new lives in Christ. The testimonies are there, and they're very, very powerful. So thank you for sharing those, because I know that they're going to speak to many. Let me ask you, Stephen, in our last few moments here, your book, once again, focuses on primarily that through Christ, we can be free of same-sex attraction. That in itself is a mouthful for many today to receive and hear. And I say it this way, let me get your reply to this, because this may be overly simplistic, what I'm about to share, but this is really how I see it. Again, whether we've been walking with Jesus for a day or for many, many years, we're all in the process of becoming more and more like our loving Savior. It's a process that goes on in our lives till we either go home to be with Him or He comes back to get us. And you know, when I embraced that truth and reality, I took a step back and went, I'm just going to relax and enjoy this journey. Because I know in my life, there's always going to be a part of my life that I'm going to have to be working on. But I really believe at the end of the day, even though we may love God with our whole heart, and all we want to do on a daily basis is please Him and live for Him and honor Him, we all have an it in our lives, and that it differs from person to person. For some men and women, it's an issue of same-sex attraction. For other men and women, it may be something else. And it really seems to me at the end of the day, we really have to ask ourselves this question. Which do I want more, it or Him? Now, that may be, again, overly simplistic, but that's really how I see it, because we've got an enemy, and his job is to see to it that we are tempted. We do not get to choose that which tempts us, but we're all tempted. To say that we're not being tempted, I think, is not being honest. But really, once again, whatever that it may be in our lives, do I want it more than him? And that, I really believe, as the saying goes, divides the men from the boys. What do you think?
Yeah, that's right. Because maturity is understanding that there is an eternity, and that we're living for that and not the temporalness of this life. That even our bodies, our physical bodies, are only temporary. And why would you want to live for something that's temporary and die eternally when you can live for that which is eternal and live for eternity?
Yes. Stephen, once again, we are nearing our time being gone, unfortunately. Share with everyone, please, how do they get a copy of your book?
Yeah, you can get a copy of it from the website of the book. The book has its own website, freedomrealized.org. And, of course, it is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's and on Redemption Press. But freedomrealized.org will give you all the hyperlinks.
And it's available now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I would assume also for people wanting more information about Stephen, his own personal journey, and the ministry of First Stone Ministries located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Stephen, what's your website address for the ministry?
It is. It's First Stone, like him who is without sin cast the first stone. And it's all spelled out, firststone.org.
Okay. And how about the website for Restored Hope Network?
It is. It's restoredhopenetwork.org as well. So all spelled out. RestoredHopeNetwork.org.
And as you've shared, thankfully, through Restored Hope Network, spreading across all of America, there are referral ministries, there are churches, there are professional Christian counselors and therapists. And if you go to the Restored Hope Network website, you can find very easily the nearest connection to you. Stephen, thanks so much. I greatly appreciate you, sir. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you. It's been a delight always. I sure appreciate you and your stand for righteousness, my brother.
Thanks again. We'll be talking, I'm sure. For all those listening in, once again, thanks for tuning in. Until next week, same time, same station, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.